The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The price of oil has reached its highest level since 2022. This comes after Donald Trump warned that the Iran blockade could last months. So what does it mean for us, and what is the latest from the Strait of Hormuz, on which all of these prices are linked and dependent? Here to tell me more on this is Cormac McGarry, Director for Maritime Security Services at Control Risks. I'll also speak to Danny Hewson, who is Head of Financial Analysis at AJ Bell, and Hamish de Bretton-Gordon, former British Army officer and NATO Nuclear Defence Commander. But Cormac, I'll come to you first on this from a maritime security perspective. What do you see that has changed overnight that has caused this spike in oil prices?
Well, literally nothing has changed overnight. We've got the same picture on the water, specifically in the Strait of Hormuz today, that we have had for the last 2 weeks and pretty much for the last 2 months. So for the last 2 weeks, the US has been blockading Iran. And for the last 2 months, Iran has been pretty much blockading everyone else. Nothing major has changed. What seems to have spurred this oil price spike is a report from Axios saying that US President Trump is going to be briefed today, probably tonight, Irish time, on potentially new military options for the US to take in the Strait of Hormuz. There's nothing necessarily new there. I would imagine the US president gets briefed on an almost daily basis on military options in the Strait of Hormuz. So some of this could be down to speculative economics. It could be down to actual prices catching up with real supply problems. It's not necessarily down to what's happening militarily on the water.
Mm-hmm. But these price increases that we're seeing today, this is the Brent price, the Brent crude oil price. So this oil will be due to hit our supply in about a month's time. Is that right? In June?
Roughly speaking, you know, Ireland doesn't completely rely on Middle Eastern oil and gas, but it does rely on the world supply of oil and gas. So with the Strait of Hormuz effectively cut off, including Iran, that's about 20% of the world supply. So no matter who we're importing from, that's going to affect the price. And so if you just think about this in terms of mathematics and volume, Ireland consumes about 150,000 barrels of crude oil a day. That is actually a small amount of what one ship carries. So one ship, one large oil carrier, could carry about 2 weeks of Ireland's crude oil consumption. All it takes is one ship to be stuck, and that's 2 weeks of Ireland's consumption. Now, there should be 135 ships a day getting out of the Strait of Hormuz. Currently, there's almost zero. So in short, yes, that is it already is affecting Ireland, obviously. What we're probably seeing with this price spike today, one explanation is that this is the market actually setting a more of a longer term price on these supply constrictions.
Okay, Cormac, I'll let you go. Thank you very much for being with us. And I'll move to Danny Hewson now at AJ Bell, who's been watching the markets on this. So we are told, as Cormac explained to us, Danny, that this spike overnight was due to that Axios report around Donald Trump being told about additional or military options that he had ahead of him, which seems to suggest that this will head into the longer term. Is that what you attribute the rise to too?
Yeah, absolutely. It does seem that people have woken up this morning and read that report and considered what that could potentially mean to supply going forward. That said, we saw a spike this morning when the price of a barrel of Brent crude hit 126.41. It has come down to almost $121 a barrel. So I think traders are sort of taking a bit of a breath and trying to work out what's really going in. But it's been a really difficult week for oil markets. We, of course, heard that the United Arab Emirates is leaving OPEC. That's expected to have very limited near-term impact on the price of oil, but going forward, that could be significant and does raise questions about the future of OPEC in general. It has said it is going to raise output slightly, but yeah, I mean, investors are just wondering whether or not the taco trade, Trump always chickens out, can still be applied. And that is now factoring into the price of oil.
But Danny, what we've heard is that even if things were to snap back to normal in the morning, there would be a very long tail on the disruption to the markets and to the world economy. Is that your view?
Yes, we're already seeing the impact of higher oil prices. And even if it were to snap back, you're not going to see prices go back to where they were in December or even where they were at the start of the war, at just over $70 a barrel. We have seen people now buying oil at this price, which is now being paid for at the pump. It's being paid for by farmers who are needing to put fertilizer on their field. It's being involved in creating energy and in creating all the goods that we eat on our shelves. And this is now impacting inflation. We're expecting figures today from the Eurozone showing it nearing 3%. And this, of course, is going to have an effect on the European Central Bank and its ability to cut interest rates. We're now expecting today to have a hold from the Central Bank, but we are expecting them to say, look, as soon as June, it is likely that we will have to put interest rates up. And that, of course, does then have a knock on to growth. And certainly there are lots of questions about Germany and whether it is going to fall into recession towards the back end of this year.
All right. Not much good news there, Danny. Thank you very much. Danny Hewson from AJ Bell. And as I mentioned, Hamish de Breton Gordon is with us as well to analyse and assess what might be happening on the ground. So this Axios report, Hamish, overnight, Donald Trump being told what his options are. What do you read into that?
Well, thanks very much for having me, Claire.
You're very welcome.
I mean, a number of things. I think it's extraordinary to a lot of us military analysts that President Trump is only, you know, now just realizing what vital ground the Straits of Hormuz is. And of course, whoever controls them is controlling the whole conflict. And of course, the price of oil that you've been talking about. Now, when it comes to military options, this war into its second month now. You would have thought if it was possible to open the Straits of Hormuz using military means, it would have been done already. And I think from a purely tactical perspective on the ground, it's incredibly difficult. And the mullahs, the regime in Iran, hold all the cards here. And I suppose the other thing to consider is, you know, the regime in Iran don't seem to care much for the suffering of its people, where President Trump and the rest of the world obviously, you know, care a great deal for the fact that we're now having to buy oil at $126 a barrel and what that means at our petrol pump. So hugely challenging. It's difficult to know militarily what the US could do to open the straits. Mm-hmm. No doubt we'll talk about the nuclear issue, which seems to be the thing that's driving Trump at the moment. But, you know, with my own experience and expertise, and I think other people who have similar experience and expertise would agree, you know, Iran is a very, very long way in years to be able to produce a nuclear weapon. So it seems focusing on that at the cost of $120 a barrel of oil seems to be a strange position to take.
Well, what we hear is that Donald Trump wants to negotiate on everything, on both the Strait and whatever nuclear deal he wants to get to with the Iranians. The Iranians just want to sort out the Strait, and he's not happy with that. So he wants to force them back to the negotiating table, and everything must be on that table and up for discussion.
Yeah, I mean, and that seems to be why we are likely to see this progress without any resolution until perhaps his position changes. Because, you know, to not restate what I've said, the Iranian regime have the Straits of Hormuz, and without a resolution to that, I don't think we're going to get a resolution to anything. And mm-hmm. you know, and President, you know, the nuclear thing to me is a sideline. Obviously, he's got that completely focused in his mind and seems unable to look away from it. But yeah, I and others don't think that there's any way that they can produce nuclear weapons, certainly in the next few years.
But we're in this place this morning where Axios, as you say, is presenting him with these, or Axios is reporting that he's being presented with these options, which include a wave of aerial strikes and infrastructure targets. And the reason for doing that would be to force Iran back to the negotiating table. So essentially, you would take us back to where we were before that fragile truce or ceasefire was agreed.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the case. But again, it is only going to harm the Iranian people. And actually, earlier on this week, I was with the Kurdish foreign minister, who have a large border with Iran, and of course the Iranian Kurds as well. And, you know, they look through a slightly different optic. They are a sort of area of stability. And discussing with them and others, it's very difficult to know what could be struck that would bring the regime or what's left of the regime back to the negotiation table. Because in the end, he's talking about taking out their power supply and everything else. You know, that whoever is still running the place, no doubt will not, his lights won't go out. So it's, I think it is frustrating. Maybe this is more sort of dancing around that Trump's doing, you know, hoping in the fact that they will see some sort of reason in Tehran or wherever they are. But it just, the offer from Iran, I understand it, as you said, is let's sort out the Straits of Hormuz mm-hmm. and then go on to something else, which, you know, for everybody except perhaps Trump, that does seem to be a sensible approach.
I'm sure you've seen these reports as well. The Wall Street Journal is saying that the United States is pushing for this maritime freedom construct, which would be an international coalition aimed at restarting commercial shipping in the Strait. I don't know, and perhaps you might shed some light on this, whether there is much of an appetite, given the lack of support that the United States had for this conflict initially, whether there would be an appetite for other nations to join with the United States in trying to force the reopening of the Strait?
Well, that's a really good question. I think we know that Britain and France and some other predominantly European NATO navies have been looking at how they would perhaps patrol the Straits of Hormuz, you know, with an appropriate ceasefire, because there are mines and other things that need to be removed. But the inference that you would do it in contact, in other words, under fire to clear the Straits, I think that most people have sort of discarded that, because it is so easy for Iran, with its little fast attack boats and firing missiles from the coast, to hit Royal Naval or any Navy ships that would go into the area. There is, I'm not a naval expert, but naval experts tell me, you know, it'd be virtually impossible to completely secure the Straits with just military power. So I a long answer to your question, Claire, no, I don't think there's a lot of appetite to help the Americans in that endeavour.
Well, and the other big question on all of this, because I know this is an option that we're hearing is being presented to Donald Trump today, that if the aerial bombardment doesn't result in you being able to take control of the Straits of Hormuz, you will have to do it by force. So that would involve putting ground troops in there. Will he go there?
Well, that's I suppose that is the multi-million-dollar question that Trump is hoping that Tehran's thinking about. In a way, they have put the potential boots on the ground in the region. 82nd Airborne Division and the Marine Expeditionary Force is in the area, and those are the people who would go on the far side, if you like, the enemy bank. But, that is fraught with danger. This sort of thing, certainly when the US has done these sort of things in the past, people my age will remember the attempt to recover hostages in the 70s from Iran, from the US embassy, went horrifically wrong. This is fraught with a lot of danger. But I suppose it makes sense for the Pentagon to sort of flex this particular muscle in the hope that the Iranian regime will start to discuss. But to go down that route, I think, would be hugely challenging.
Hamish, thank you very much for being with us on the programme. Hamish de Bretton Gordon, former British Army officer and NATO nuclear defence commander.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.